Hello, everyone. Welcome to Writing Easy, the podcast where we try to make writing just a little bit less painful. I am one of your hosts, Mary Mascari.
And I'm your other host, Melissa Long.
So it is January. It is cold here. It's warm there.
True. It's often warm in LA.
One hopes, yes. But no, it's a nice cozy morning for writing for me. I sit and I'm looking out at the snow, and I know I don't want to go outside, so I can just feel cozy and writy, which is good. It's good to have good writing weather. Do you have that problem in LA where it's nice and so you want to go outside and play, or no?
All the time. Yeah. Like when it rains, I'm like, I treat it like a snow day, and then I'm huddled in, hunkered down, writing, reading, catching up on all this stuff inside. But right now it's sunny and I kind of want to be outside.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm also in my pajamas, so, you know.
Well, that's good too. So today we've got a couple things we're going to be talking about. I have a sort of a quote. The quote of the day isn't a quote, but you'll see what it is. And then, Melissa, it's your turn to talk about the writing problems that you've had and how you may have solved them or trying to solve them. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about muses today. See about having a muse. Is it good to have a muse? What is a muse?
I'm amused.
Oh, that's beautiful. We are not amused. So I was looking for quotes, and I was hoping to find something really cool that tied in with the muse theme, and I was not successful at that. But what I did find was a sort of dialogue. It's clearly some sort of panel between George R.R. Martin and Stephen King. And they're both sitting on a stage talking to each other in chairs, some sort of con or something. And I really liked it because obviously they're both very accomplished writers, both really know what they're doing, both really good. And this sort of dialogue illustrates how differently you can approach writing and still be good. So it starts off with George R.R. Martin saying, "How the fuck do you write so many books so fast? I think, oh, I've had a really good 6 months. I've written 3 chapters. You finished 3 books in that time." And then Stephen King says, "Oh, the way that I work, I try to get out there and I try to get 6 pages a day and I try to get them fairly clean. So if the manuscript is, let's say, 360 pages long, that's basically 2 months' work." And Martin goes, "And you do hit 6 pages a day?" King's like, "I usually do." And then George R.R. Martin, bless his soul forever, says, "You don't ever have a day where you sit down there and it's like constipation and you write a sentence and you hate the sentence and you check your email and you wonder if you had any talent after all and maybe you should have been a plumber? Don't you ever have days like that?" And then Stephen King, motherfucker, says, "No."
That's it. No more Stephen King.
That's it. No, I'm done with him. He's not a normal human.
No.
But yeah, I read that and I felt really good. Because even just seeing that first part where he was saying, "Oh yeah, I do, you know, 6 pages and they're clean." I'm like, yeah, but that's just one pass through. Like, what if you don't need those 6 pages? What if you're going to, you know, but that's not how he works. And it was so great to hear George R.R. Martin say, like, "What the frick are you talking about? This is not at all how I work. This is insane." And so I felt a little validated in that I could look at other accomplished writers and see that their process is completely different than mine. There's nothing wrong with my process because it doesn't match theirs. It's just a very individual thing. And so I like that quote. What do you think?
Yes, I love that. Because when I started writing, one of the things that I would do was look at other professional writers and I would just want to mimic exactly what they did. I felt mm-hmm. like, well, they're successful. They write 6 pages a day. I have to write 6 pages a day. And like, I set my definition of success based on trying to have writing habits that everybody else had. Or like, this is the book that you have to read and this is what it tells mm-hmm. you to do. So this is how I have to write my novel. And it just is frustrating because it's not true. It's not true at all.
Yeah, it's good to know. But it's hard to do something where there's no right way to do it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's no wrong way to do it, but there's also no right way to do it. And that's really irritating. So what's your process like, generally speaking? Do you write 6 pages a day?
No. I've never.
We can still be friends then.
See, I'm not a daily writer. I'm trying to be. But I found that setting goals like target number of words or number of pages is not helpful. because some mm-hmm. scenes are really hard to write, and it like just sitting down and getting through a paragraph or two is hard. So mm-hmm. my goal is like I sit at the computer and I open yeah. the manuscript or the document and I put a word on the page. Like that's a win. If I'm doing that daily, the rest yeah. will come.
So that's our quote, and we can just know that whatever your process is, as long as words are coming out, you're probably doing it right.
Agreed.
Well, then our next segment is Problem of the Week. Melissa, tell me your problems.
I have two problems, one which I've solved and one Yay. Which I haven't. And they both align to what we were just talking about, which is great.
Beautiful. Kismet. We're so good.
So the first one was time, like managing my time. So, you know, I moved, I started a new job, I used to work from home, I had a lot more flexibility. Now I go into an office and I'm there for, you know, 9 or 10 hours and I've mm-hmm. got a long commute. So I have really struggled to carve out my writing time, where it's like, used to get up in the morning, I didn't start work until 9. I had like beautiful, wonderful hours in the morning to write and sort of ease into my writing. And now I'm like out the door at 6:30, 7 o'clock and wow. on the way. So yeah, I've had to identify a new writing schedule. And the first few months, I failed miserably. And yeah, so my solution, because I am a people pleaser and I need accountability and I mm-hmm. need hard deadlines, was to sign up for a class. And I not only signed up for one class, I signed up for two classes. And I was like, when am I going to find the time to write and do these assignments and show up for class? And what I found was, I did have time. I didn't think I had time. I found time. Mm-hmm. So now at lunch, I actually don't go out with my friends. It saves me a lot of money. I yeah. go into – we have like an open floor plan in our office, open concept workspace, which is really hard to get any kind of writing done yeah. at my desk. So we have these little phone conference rooms. I lock myself in a phone booth and I actually do my writing. And it's great because I also – have my own computer, which has my final draft software on it, but it's not connected to the internet. So not only do I have writing time, but I can't connect. I can't get online. Can't check my Facebook.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, you just lock yourself away in a little isolation tank.
Yep.
Oh, that's so good. And it's good that you know yourself well enough to say, I need this accountability. I need this structure.
Yes.
I think it's really good.
It's good. And it's like, and it also helps because even in the evenings, like I come home and I'm exhausted and I'm like, I don't want to mm-hmm. do anything. And now that I have this, like, I'm like, oh, well, I don't need to veg out in front of the TV for 2 hours. You know, I can actually write, read a book and go to bed, and I am more productive. So I don't think that it's something that I'll keep doing for all 12 months of the year, but for a month or two while the class is going on, I can manage that.
That's really cool. I'm very jealous of that isolation tank. I want one of those.
You might be able to use like your closet or a bathroom.
Yeah. I'm just sitting in the, mom, and then people knocking on the door. Hey, what you doing in there? Writing. Yeah. Leave me alone. I'm having a real problem in here. Don't worry.
Nothing.
It's fine. Oh, God. Well, good. So what's your other problem? Do you want to... And do you want to like brainstorm ideas, or you just want to kind of share?
Well, if you have ideas, I am never going to deny an yeah. idea if it comes up. So I'm in the process of adapting an unpublished manuscript, and I have two different versions of the manuscript. One is a YA novel and one is an adult novel. They have like the central core characters, but there are a lot of other characters that got changed because it went from two different genres. And so in adapting this, I have this whole world, this whole story, and a ton of content that I'm now putting into a TV show concept. And I have to do an outline for the pilot specifically. And I am so overwhelmed because there's just like so many different things that I can pick and choose from. So whereas like usually outlining is fairly straightforward and people have trouble coming up with content, I have way too much and I just yeah. can't quite figure out how to now, think
is it
through
that
it.
You Is it that you don't know what to cut out? Like, everything's so great that you want to cram it all in to just to kind of show what it all is? Like, look at this and look at this, look at this, so that you can, you know, impress the people you need to impress? Is that what's getting you?
Part of it. I mean, as the story evolved, like there's certain characters who changed or who aged down. So it's kind of like, which version of the character do I want to use? And do I want to keep it? Like, one book is 3 points of view. Well, actually, I would say it's 4 or 5 points of view. And the other one is just 2 points of view. And so it's like, do I want to tell this show from really one key point of view? Or do I want to do the original version, which has lots of different characters? And
Do you want an ensemble cast or do you want a star vehicle?
Yeah. Like, so I'm just, I haven't figured out a way to sort of play around with the options. And I was thinking about maybe plotting it through in a couple of different approaches and then seeing which one resonates the most. But that sounds like a lot of work.
Personally, I've always been of the mind that anything I write is cheap. Like, I can write it a different way again. That's easy. Like, that doesn't cost me anything. Time, I guess. But, like, I've always been like, well, let me write this way and see how it thinks. Now, let's throw that scene out, or, you know, open a new scene in Scrivener, and then let's write that scene this way. And then, okay, let's try it this way. And sometimes I do what I call pseudocode, where it's not like, you know, I'm not like making a real drama. I'm not necessarily writing the full descriptions. I'm like writing the dialogue and kind of summarizing it just so I really can be in there and feel what it's like. And then I'll do 3 or 4 because I figure that that's not, you know, that's not a big commitment. Like, if I can toss those out easy and maybe pick from it later. So that's something I've always been unafraid to do. But I write really fast and have to do it that way because I'm super inefficient.
No, but I really like that. I think that's what I'm going to try and do, is give myself permission to sort of play around with like 2 or 3 different versions and not feel like, not set that pressure on myself that like whatever path I start down, I have to like be locked into that.
That's a good way of thinking about it. It's one thing that makes writing easy is taking pressure off yourself.
Yes. And there's way too many opportunities to put pressure on yourself.
Oh my God, no shortage. That's for sure. All right. So our last segment today is to talk about muses, which is an interesting topic. I did a lot of reading about muses because I find it really interesting. The theory is you have a genius, right? So it's not like you are a genius. It's you have a genius. And a genius is kind of a go-between between yourself and the magic realm where stories come from. And this muse comes to you and says, you know, let's do this thing. Here's some ideas. Here's some things. And I think every writer has the experience of when they get going, those magic things that happen. You're like, oh, yeah, I've got this idea. Or, oh, this fits together perfectly. Or just these little magical surprises that come up.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's a very powerful thing to rely on and to count on and to expect is, you know, just an idea that you're not alone at this, that there's some magic that happens. I think that's so important, no matter how rational and realistic and skeptical you are, to feel that there's a little magic involved and that you can use it and it's there to help you. I think that's invaluable.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, you know, so I've never really thought about a muse per se as like some being or creature or something that's guiding me. But I do believe that there's some kind of magic happening. Like, I believe that there's, I don't know, like this whimsical sort of synchronicity that takes place when you're getting into the world, you know, where you have all of these ideas popping at you and you write a draft and you see connections that you didn't intend to be there. And then you're like, whoa, like there's this whole other element that I can develop. So I feel like the universe is always kind of working in your favor. And that people who are creative, who are trying to tell stories, no matter what the medium, I think that they're tapping into that. So like maybe in my mind, it's like a choir of muses, like, but there's something out there that like you are connecting and tapping into on a deeper level that is pulling a lot of the different strings or helping you figure out which strings to pull.
Yeah. I think it's nice to know that you don't have to think of it all. That, again, taking pressure off yourself, that there's, you got someone in your corner, you know, and, you know, when you're talking about the magic, I was just thinking about this one. I was writing a story. It was set in LA, and I needed a park, and I randomly picked a park. I looked at the map. I said, "Bip, that one. That seems to be in a good location." And then I'm reading. I'm like, "Oh, good. There's a little house there. That's great." And you know, I'm writing and writing. And then as I go to the scene, I'm like, "You know, what would be really great is if they could go up on the roof, because then they can look down. That's what I need them to do." And I look. Then I go and look up what that house is. And you would not believe, the house is made to go up on the roof. There were stairs that go up to the roof, and there's a and I didn't know that. I just picked a random place.
Yeah.
And I just – and then – so, you know, things like that happen. And I – you got to embrace that. You got to – you're allowed to have that.
Yeah. I love that.
Thank you very much for listening to Writing Easy. I have been your host, Mary Mascari.
And I'm your host, Melissa Long.
Good luck. Keep writing. And we'll see you next time.